You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, columnist at Predominantly Orange and NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Tonight's episode of the show is brought to you by MyBookie, and we're going to give you a little bit of a tale of the tape there. So I want to welcome in my co-host, Cameron Parker.
Okay, Cody, feels good to be back. Missed the day, but tell you what, it was a really good Locked On crossover episode with your boy Q and Cody, and it is the Raiders and the Denver Broncos. It's a rivalry week with the Denver Broncos. They're playing one more time, but there's a lot to talk about as far as, you know, previous games that was held between the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders, and we'll talk about it certainly at length, but, you know, maybe the biggest change certainly is that the offensive coordinator that once was with the Oakland Raiders, and at least in the last 5 years, was that Bill Musgrave and the Oakland Raiders made the decision to go their separate ways. And now Bill Musgrave is the offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos.
Segment number one tonight, we're going to go through a tale of the tape as if Bruce Buffer were here announcing it right here. And we have week one comparisons between the Broncos and the Raiders, kind of where the Raiders and the Broncos rank in terms of production and even maybe comparing some player play from different positions, offense, defensively, so on and so forth. Segment number two, we're going to go back, like Cameron said, and look at the Broncos and the Raiders' previous five matchups, talk about them a little bit in length, and talk about what has happened ever since. You know, a lot has changed since those last five matchups, and this one's going to be a very different matchup when the Raiders come to town on Sunday. Kickoff set for 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff at Broncos Stadium, Mile High. Hope to catch you out there at Broncos Stadium, Mile High. Very, very excited. The mobile ticketing thing that's going really well for the Broncos organization. So if you're out there, have fun and enjoy the game. In segment number three, we're going to take to Reddit, where users from Reddit talk about the Broncos and Raiders, kind of give some of their keys to the game and some of their takes as well. So Cameron, without further ado, let's kind of dive into the little bit of the tail of the tape here. The Broncos 1-0, the Raiders 0-1. Now, there's a statistical rating here, and a lot of it is you want to look at overall and see where these teams are in terms of comparison. Granted, it's only week one. Week one is done and gone. You know, teams look good in certain aspects. Teams didn't look good in certain aspects. But right here, let's take a look at some general statistics. Now, the turnover margin, the ranking for the Broncos and the Raiders, the Broncos are ranked 14th right now in overall turnover margin. They, you know, at zero, I think a lot of it forcing the turnovers that the Broncos did against the Seahawks, and thinking about the turnovers that Derek Carr threw on Monday night's game and their loss to the Rams, they're ranked 29th. They're tied for 29th in the NFL right there. And we look at the time of average possession for the Broncos after week one and the Raiders. Week one, the Broncos time of possession was 35 minutes, 8 seconds, and then you have 31 minutes and 31 seconds for the Raiders. That gives them a ranking of 10th in the NFL. So both teams are ranked right now, just after week one, top 10 in the league in terms of time of possession. That's going to be something that you really have to look at. Now, one of the key stats, we get into offense, we get into defense. Offensively, overall net yards per game, both teams are ranked in the top 10. Now, the Broncos are ranked 5th right now with 470 total yards of offense in the win against Seattle, 27-24, compared to the Raiders, 395 total yards of offense. Now, Cam, we saw the tempo from the Raiders in the very beginning against the Rams, their first drive. They came out with up-tempo. It was quick, no huddle. They were getting things going. Marshawn Lynch running the ball, and they scored. They had a lot of energy down there at the black hole. And on that first drive, I was looking at it, and you know how sometimes you're watching like a fight or something like that, and you're watching just the first blow or something. You're like, okay, this team actually might be very surprising. I thought that with the Raiders, they kind of reverted, though, to what we used to see with the Oakland Raiders in the second half. So what are some of the offensive matchups we have to really look at in this tail of the tape?
Well, you know, it starts obviously with the Broncos' glaring weakness on defense, and that begins with the coverage of tight ends. Jared Cook might be in his mid-30s or nearing the end of his football career, but don't tell him that. Jared Jared Cook played rather well against the Los Angeles Rams, which by secondary standards against the Los Angeles Rams is maybe better than most teams in the National Football League with the addition of Marcus Peters and now Aqib Talib. So it was interesting to see Jared Cook have so much success, because as we've seen at times here in a Wade Phillips defense, that there have been times where Aqib Talib, for example, has been placed on a tight end and done rather well. So it was a little bit surprising. So maybe Jared Cook has found a fountain of youth right here, at least in the first part of the season. Now, granted, it is the first part of the season, so it might be fresh legs. But it is surprising, and we'll see if that is a glaring weakness that is going to be continuing for the Denver Broncos. And we'll see if Brandon Marshall gets to be on the coverage of Jared Cook, or will they throw in, you know, maybe Will Parks, or will we see Demonte Thomas a little bit more in week two as far as matchups go? Who knows? But that is the most glaring weakness for the Denver Broncos going into this Oakland Raiders team.
Well, I think, you know, looking at these statistics here too, the Broncos and Raiders are actually tied in some categories here. Now, it's funny it's kind of mentioned this way, but going through, in terms of passes intercepted, both Broncos and the Raiders are tied at 27th in the NFL with 3 interceptions each. And they're also tied in terms of sacks allowed. Each team gave up 1 sack in their respective games. Now, granted, like we said, this is week one. It's over with. Now, week two is a different story, but this is all based on week one's performance. Right now, the Broncos right now are tied for first in the NFL in terms of red zone percentage at 100% compared to the Raiders, who are at 50% right now, tied for 13th. That's an offensive matchup. So looking at some of the offensive comparisons, the Broncos, Case Keenum at 329 yards passing compared to Derek Carr's 303 yards. And you look at the rushing game, the Broncos got more out of 2 running backs than the Raiders did out of 3 tailbacks. Now, Freeman and Lindsey, they both ran for 71 yards apiece. Devontae Booker, the low man, with 4 yards compared to Marshawn Lynch, who had 41 yards. Didn't really see much run in the second half for the Raiders. Compare that to, you know, Melvin Richard with 24, and then Doug Martin, the pocket hamster, had 20 yards. So overall, the Broncos, between those 2 guys, had more rushing yards than all 3 of those tailbacks combined. But I think the difference maker here, Jared Cook had 187 yards receiving as a tight end. And if we go back to the Broncos game against the Seahawks with Will Dissly had 103 yards receiving in the game at halftime. That is not a good formula. And like you said, Cam, the Broncos have historically struggled in this regard to covering tight ends. So let's take a look at some defensive statistics before we get into segment number 2, which highlights the previous 5 matchup between the Broncos and the Raiders. Now, defensively, the Broncos right now are ranked 3rd in the NFL in terms of rushing yards per game, allowing 64 rush yards per game. The Raiders, on the other hand, allowed 140 yards rushing, and they're ranked 25th right now. Their defense is young, especially without Khalil Mack, who made a big difference for them last season. You could tell it's a little different there without him there. The Broncos, however, giving up those passing yards to, you know, Brandon Marshall late in the game, and as well as Tyler Lockett and Will Dissly, that puts them at a ranking of 19th in the NFL with terms of giving up 242 yards passing. I think you want to keep a guy like Derek Carr under 220 yards. That's your goal if you're coming in this week, under 220 yards passing. You look at the weapons that they have with, you know, Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, you know, I think, and Jared Cook, they're going to utilize the tight end quite a bit, and we saw it on quick slant. So the Broncos really have to do a very good job this week at being very disciplined in regard to that. The Broncos ranks, you know, 7th in the NFL right now with 2 interceptions. They're ranked 4th in the NFL with fumble recoveries, and they're ranked 4th in the NFL in terms of takeaways. Now, against the Los Angeles Rams, the Raiders had 0 takeaways, and that really affected them. That puts them at 30th right now in the National Football League. The Broncos defense through week one had 6 sacks, and they come in at 2nd in the NFL compared to the Oakland Raiders, who only had 1 sack. So for them, that was one of the biggest issues that I really saw with the Raiders. That doesn't really concern me about the offensive side of the ball for the Broncos, because they really had a hard time getting pressure on Jared Goff. They did have that 1 sack from Bruce Irvin. It was a strip sack, but other than that, they didn't really generate a lot of pressure on Jared Goff or even Todd Gurley. And I think a key statistic in this game for the Broncos, looking at them defensively, they're ranked 3rd right now in the NFL in terms of third down percentage completion rate, with a 16.7% completion rate on third down. Joe Woods likes to dial up the pressure, and that's going to be something that we're going to see this week against the Raiders, especially with a guy like Carr. You look at what Wade Phillips did, Cameron, in that matchup against the Raiders. He adjusted in the second half, got more pressure on Derek Carr, and he reverted to the guy that we've seen in the last couple of years before he had that horrific leg injury that he suffered in that Week 15 loss against the Indianapolis Colts at home. So getting into that, we're getting ready to jump into segment two. I mentioned at the top of the hour that this show was brought to you by MyBookie. Now, MyBookie is the one-stop shop, like I've said all week, for all your reliable sports betting, and they offer you a variety of amazing features. You're able to make live in-game bets if it's a fourth down and you're predicting that the Broncos defense is going to sack Derek Carr on a fourth down play if they're going for it. You can make that live in-game bet with MyBookie, or even better, you can bet the over or the under for the players on your fantasy football team on how many fantasy points that player will score. And the best thing about MyBookie that I love the most is that when you win, you get paid. You don't have to wait any longer to receive your payout. MyBookie pays you instantly, and MyBookie, they've been so reliable to me and the Locked On Broncos podcast. That's why I recommend them to you, the listener of the show. I would only recommend a service that has worked tremendously for me, and all you got to do is you can lay down some cash right now, and you can have a chance to win big today. And if you join now, MyBookie, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar, and you can do that by going and using promo code Locked On. That's one word, Locked On, to activate this special offer. Once again, you visit MyBookie online today, and you use promo code Locked On in order to claim this very special offer. You play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. Tell them that Locked On Broncos sent you. Alrighty, jumping into segment number two of the show. We're going to look at the previous five matchups between the Broncos and the Raiders. Now, Cam, this is a very storied rivalry. A lot of history to it. In the last five matchups, it really hasn't went in the favor that the Broncos have really won. So let's take a look in this. You know, going back to, let's go to 2015. Now, earlier on in that year, that's when the Broncos had Peyton Manning. The Broncos were, you know, they were struggling a little bit. This is the year Peyton Manning was going through his struggles. They snuck out a 16-10 win over the Raiders at Oakland Coliseum. And then the story would be a little bit different next time that the Raiders came to town, Cameron. That would be the game where Khalil Mack went absolutely off. And we wouldn't have known about really Khalil Mack's prestige and his potential if it wasn't for him lining up against Michael Schofield at right tackle. Let's talk about those two games for a second. Now, the first game on the road, Denver 16-10 win. Chris Harris Jr. sealed it with a pick six on Derek Carr. And granted, this was a year, in all honesty, where Derek Carr was really starting to make some strides, and it almost carried into 2016 before he had that freak injury as well. But then going on the road, you know, the Raiders come to Denver, and then that's where Michael Schofield makes Khalil Mack a legend. Let's talk about that game for a second.
Yeah, you know, you think back to it, it was just the legend of Peyton Manning, and at least with those 5 years, you saw it. You saw just sort of the mesh of Peyton Manning and how it was with the, at least with the offense is concerned. But well, the Khalil Mack game in particular, you're talking about the game where Khalil Mack had those four sacks against Michael Schofield, correct?
Yes.
Yes. That game will forever live in Broncos, I guess, offensive line infamy, just because that put into perspective for a lot of players, maybe a lot of players, but a lot of fans in Broncos country that they will regrettably remember. And they will always go back to that particular game because that was the pinpoint as far as why the Broncos have struggled mightily in trying to solidify the tackle spot, whether it's been the left tackle spot, whether it's been the right tackle spot. It was Swiss cheese. To put it bluntly, the offensive line during those years, or at least during those seasons, was Swiss cheese. And it's unfortunate that we've gotten to that, it's fortunate that as we saw the 2015 season unfold, that they were at least able to go away from a lot of that and move away from certain, you know, I guess liabilities, I should say, at least on that offensive line. But it certainly was not pretty. It certainly was not pretty. And it's unfortunate that we've we can't talk about that now because obviously the tackle position appears to be solved through week one with the addition of Garrett Bowles and the right tackle with Jared Valdir.
And that was a big pickup. Jared Verdier did a very good job in pass pro. You know, the Broncos didn't really have a lot of edge pressure this week. That was huge. And you really have to factor in, I think the Raiders are going to try to be a little bit more aggressive in this game because they didn't really generate any pressure on Jared Goff, and that led to a lot of errors on their defense and allowed Goff and Cooper Kupp and Todd Gurley to run down the field and obviously score in certain facets. But going back to those games, it was a kind of a rough start to this series after the Broncos had that 16-10 win. They lose at home 15-10, and that's the year the Broncos went to the Super Bowl. And that was kind of a huge, I think it was a gut check for the Broncos at that point because it was late. It was in December. Your season is getting ready to end in a few weeks. You have to make a statement, and they would go on to win the Super Bowl that year. They really toughened up a lot of areas, fixed a lot of things. Peyton Manning coming back, got the ball off a lot quicker, and that was a huge improvement that led to their Super Bowl run and led to them winning the Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers. Now, in 2016, it was a rough start to the series for the Broncos. Remember that Sunday night football game? Latavius Murray ran wild on the Denver Broncos in the Raiders' 30-20 victory at Oakland Coliseum. That was going to be a game that when the Broncos looked at it, it was embarrassing because Trevor Siemian was struggling. The offensive line looked terrible. And you had, I think, your only bright spot in that game at that point in time, I think, was Capri Bibbs on a screenplay scoring a touchdown. That was pretty much the highlight of the game. The Raiders marched down the field with ease there. Von Miller did have a great strip sack play on Derek Carr. I don't know how many times we've seen strip sacks from Von Miller on Derek Carr. And hopefully, if he can keep the pace that he had last week, he can have two or three of those on the Raiders this week when they come to Denver. Now, the Broncos did get the last laugh in that 2016 season as they pretty much came into the game. They won 24-6. This was, I believe, Gary Kubiak's final game as the Broncos head coach before stepping down due to having issues with his health at that point. The Broncos go on. Trevor Siemian actually looked good, played really well. The Broncos demolished the Raiders 24-6. And I believe this was the week after Derek Carr broke his leg against the Indianapolis Colts. But they would go on. The Raiders would go on to lose in the playoffs to the Houston Texans and former Broncos quarterback Brock Osweiler. And that's something that Khalil Mack couldn't get a sack in, so that's always something we can have there as well. And Khalil Mack has never gotten a playoff sack. And then going back to 2017, the Broncos really started it off, you know, during that first stretch of the season where they were having success. They were winning, and they had the Raiders, I believe it was week three, Justin Simmons coming up out of nowhere, sealing the game with an interception, high-pointing the ball. And that was a game where Derek Carr got hurt once again. I believe he had that fractured back. And at that point, E.J. Manuel came in and was actually connecting really well with the Raiders receivers. Marquette King was the punter at that time. He's now a punter on the Broncos. They tried to do a fake punt. Sunshine Jordan Taylor sniffed it out, and they didn't get it. And then Marquette King got a 15-yard penalty. I remember those vividly. Now, I hope we don't see that happen with the Broncos.
Yeah, you know, you think back to that, just to the 2015 season for a little bit, and even going forward, there was a lot of underlying stories with it because the Denver Broncos had to, in essence, to create a lot of separation and in essence for that home field, they had to win that Oakland game. But it was also in those times, you mentioned it, is that that was around the time when Brock Osweiler was getting the start, or at least spelling Peyton Manning. And he obviously did rather well down the stretch. And one would argue that Brock Osweiler was maybe along the lines of Brandon McManus, maybe the underrated MVPs of that season. Then you go into the 2016 season, and that's where just everything just went haywire, it seemed, with just games and in essence what Bill Musgrave did with Derek Carr. Because if you think back to that season, Derek Carr was a MVP candidate when Bill Musgrave was his offensive coordinator. And then the Denver Broncos made the decision that, hey, you know what, we will bring Bill Musgrave in here, because the Oakland Raiders made, in my mind, they made a pretty stupid decision to let Bill Musgrave go, and the Broncos decided to snatch him up, and it's understandable why the Broncos decided to do that. There's a lot of history on that side, so the Broncos ended up getting Bill Musgrave to come in and be the quarterback's coach, and then obviously moving into the offensive coordinator position with Mike McCoy, which leads you into the 2017 season, where the Oakland Raiders, once that happened, you saw Derek Carr just start start to trickle down a little bit. And at least with the production and everything that we've seen from the past. So it seemed like once Bill Musgrave left that the talent level of Derek Carr wasn't really where it needed to be, or not even close to where it was when Bill Musgrave was there. So there's a lot of fascinating stories the last 5 years with the Oakland Raiders and with the Denver Broncos and just themselves. And so it's a fascinating conversation piece, because, you know, there have been a lot of frustrating games, there have been a lot of exciting games. And to be honest with you, a lot of those exciting games came when Peyton Manning was the quarterback. And then obviously the ones where it was just so frustrating was when, well, the quarterback position was still a conundrum.
Yeah. Well, when Peyton Manning was quarterback, dating back to Tim Tebow's year, the Broncos, they came out and they won, I believe it was 7 straight games against the Raiders, or 8 straight games against the Raiders in this series, dating back from 2011 all the way to 2015 before losing to them on that 15-10 day in Denver. And then the last game of the season last year, the Broncos lost on the road 21-14. Paxton Lynch's first start, he got hurt. Trevor Siemian almost led a comeback. Brennan Langley gave up some passes. Haunting stuff. I don't like to revisit that. But the Broncos and the Raiders resume their rivalry this Sunday, 2:25 p.m. kickoff time at Broncos Stadium at Mile High. And a couple quick tidbits here. Former Raiders on the Broncos, Marquette King, and we talked about it. Bill Musgrave, former offensive coordinator for the Raiders back in 2015-2016, is now the offensive coordinator for the Broncos. And Broncos defense coordinator Joe Woods, he worked as the Raiders defensive backs coach in 2014. He's now running the Broncos defense. A lot of cool storylines there.
Well, and also Marcus Robertson, who is now the defensive backs coach, was the defensive backs for coach, I believe, for the Oakland Raiders last season, or at least
it was a few seasons ago. Yeah,
it's a few. Yes, yeah, so there's another coach there, Marcus Robertson, who has history with the Oakland Raiders.
And with that, we're going to jump into segment 3 here in just a second on the Locked On Broncos podcast. But before we get to that, I'd like to tell you guys, fantasy football is underway, and we have 2 fantasy football shows that will help you out. And we have Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, which gives you all the latest news, the waiver suggestions, and the injury news to help you succeed in your lineups every single week. And Locked On Fantasy Football is now the Locked On Fantasy Football Experts, with amazing guests every single day. Every Monday features Tom Kesenich. Tuesdays, you'll hear from Eric Edholm, and Wednesdays, you'll hear from Jet Ratliff and Tyler Lochner on the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, jumping into a segment 3, the main event of the show. We're doing a really cool thing over there at Reddit. I really encourage listeners of Locked On Broncos to go over and create a Reddit account if you have the chance. We're going to be doing a weekly feature on Reddit where we ask a question regarding the Broncos or a matchup this week, and we decided to share them here on Locked On Broncos. I went over to Reddit and I made a post saying a look ahead to Denver and Oakland, talking about, you know, what is some of the biggest keys for the Broncos? What do you think the Raiders are going to look at? Key offensive matchups, biggest key for the Broncos defense on Sunday. And all the responses I said we'll share on the show. Now, we had Spartan 3 saying that really the interior O-line versus our defensive line is stopping the run. He said the opening drive by the Raiders looked good. Running the ball against guys like Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald early on had me a little worried. So, you know, I kind of felt the same exact way watching that Rams game the first series. However, it really kind of diminished in the second half. Wade Phillips, the king of making adjustments, that was a big thing for them as well. Now, Jay Balls 13, that's crazy. He said something along the lines, he said, if you can contain Cook, Jordy Nelson's really a shell of himself. He doesn't worry me too much. Amari Cooper was nearly invisible last night. I think we can win this by playing the exact same game as last week. I can see Lindsay and Royce having good games once again. And I can look at that as a point. I think you can run against this Raiders team. And I think Case Keenum, you know, I think the Raiders secondary has some really decent corners. Now, the safety areas are areas of the field I think you might be able to attack a little bit with McKenzie back there. He's a little slow. He can't cover some of the fast guys. And I think you can match up Cortland Sutton in some different situations. I think we're going to see a breakout game from Cortland Sutton this week. That's going to be something I look forward to. And for the sake of time, Young Tubbs says, I'm very nervous about Jared Cook. Otherwise, I think our D will have a good day and the offense should match up nicely against their secondary. My main concern, and Cameron, I think you share the same concern as me, matching up with the tight ends, that's the biggest concern, because Will Disley had 140 yards receiving in the first half. Jared Cook had 180 yards receiving against the Rams, who, in my opinion, I think they should should have probably switched Aqib Talib or corner to Jared Cook, because he was the one guy that was really a receiver threat. You didn't see much out of Amari Cooper or any of the other guys at receiver for the Raiders. So wouldn't be surprised if we saw, you know, Joe Woods go in a situation where maybe you see Bradley Roby or Chris Harris matching up on Jared Cook. We saw Chris Harris match up on Greg Olsen in Super Bowl 50. It might be something that we get to see here.
It might be. Now, the interesting point, Cody, that I brought up in the Periscope broadcast that I did last night, and you guys can go check it out on my Twitter handle at Lockdown. You can check Cody that he did his Periscope at Lockdown Broncos, as well as his own Twitter handle at Cody Rourke NFL. But I did one at Cameron Parker PO. And, you know, Cody, I made this baseball analogy with Will Dissly. And I'm not here to tell you that the tight ends will be solved. But if you think about it, the Broncos game last week, obviously the Broncos won by 3 points, but there really wasn't a time where you felt stressed or anything, just because it felt like the Broncos were in control of the game, it seemed, even despite the three interceptions. Now, granted, the frustrating part was the lack of coverage by the tight ends. And the point that I made as far as a baseball analogy is when you're pitching on the outside part of the plate and it's the bottom of the seventh inning, at least on to the ninth inning, you want a hitter to beat you opposite field. And if you're going in it with an NFL mindset, did anybody going into the game plan, maybe it was the Broncos too, but did anybody in their game plan think that Will Dissly was going to blow the doors off of the secondary?
No, he was told. He was told all week. Right. Pete Carroll said they threw a little misdeception out there saying, no, he's a great blocking tight end.
Right. So it was completely held tight as far as a well-kept secret, maybe for the Seattle Seahawks offense. So in essence, would you rather have Will Dissly beat you, or would you rather have Russell Wilson beat you? I would probably much rather have Will Dissly beat you. And that's the point I made. Now, granted, that does not take away from the impact that they made as far as a tight end goes. But ultimately, you would much rather have Will Dissly beat you than obviously a Russell Wilson or you name it. And I think a lot of that is just more the miscommunication issues in the secondary. And we'll see if that gets fixed in week two, because who cares if Jared Cook is 34, 35 years old or in his mid-30s? The Denver Broncos, like you said, are historically in a really bad place as far as covering tight ends. And we'll see if it continues, but it's one that very well might continue. Now, really, though, the guy that you do have to be a little wary of, because he was a non-factor, is Amari Cooper. So there might be some design plays to get Amari Cooper the ball early and often on Sunday.
And our last Reddit question comes from a Rocket Surgeon. He said, Derek Carr definitely looked shook after that first pick and played terrible after that, but he's still a great quarterback. Contrary to the narrative, bad plays happen and they stack up quick if a team isn't able to nip it in the bud. He says it's just that the Rams defense is so absolutely stacked and they looked as advertised. And this guy, whose name is very inappropriate, I can't share it, but he makes a great comment. He says, Carr has been garbage since he hurt his back. And your boy Q, host of Lockdown Raiders, touch base on the same thing as well. So every week we're going to be doing a Reddit feature here on Lockdown Broncos. We'll do a weekly posting. Hope you guys can jump on that, as well as our Periscope Tuesdays, where we record a live Periscope edition of the show and we talk with you, the listeners of Locked On Broncos. It's been a huge week over here at Locked On Broncos. Big, big game. Our 300th episode will be the game recap of the Broncos Raiders outcome. You can catch that Sunday evening here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for details for our Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. It's coming up this month. Towards the end of the month, we're going to do our drawing and the lucky listener is going to be able to win some prizes, some Broncos merchandise, memorabilia. We're going to have you covered over here. Subscribe on the show, send your love in, and also if you want to enter the Lockdown Broncos contest giveaway, leave a review on iTunes, leave your Twitter handle in there, and we will automatically put your name in the hat every single time we do a contest giveaway. You're going to have some options to win more entries into the contest as well. That'll do it for today's episode of Lockdown Broncos. We'll be joined tomorrow by Nick Kendall of Mile High Huddle for our Fan Friday segment of the show. We're going to get some bold predictions over there from the great crew and the guys over there at Mile High Huddle in a Mile High Huddle, predominantly orange crossover show on Friday. Your last episode until game day, till kickoff. Broncos Stadium, Mile High, 2:25 p.m. The Raiders come to town. It's a big week. We'll see you next time on Locked On Broncos.